I'm sorry, I'm distracted by the internet. Welcome, it's Eric Erickson here. It is my show, and you are welcome to call into it if you want. 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. We must begin with something about the Olympics. I've been critical of the Olympics. I guess I'm not really critical of the Olympics so much as I am critical of the coverage of the Olympics. And for example, the media spending so much time focusing on the wokes and the protests and what's her name, who was so upset about the national anthem being played and whether or not she could protest and how she could protest, and she didn't even place. And then you've got a black female wrestler, Tamra Mensah-Stock. She became the first black American woman to win a gold medal. And it is conservative media highlighting this. Much of the mainstream media, including NBC, just didn't want to cover a lot of this. Here's what she said.
Of course I surprised myself. It's by the grace of God I'm able to even move my feet. Like, I just leave it in his hands. And I pray that all the practice, that the hell that my freaking coach is putting me through, pays off. And every single time it does. And I get better and better. And it's so weird that there is no cap to the limit that I can do. And I'm excited to see what I have next.
Last question for you. That American flag around your shoulders looks pretty good. How does that feel to represent your country like this?
It feels amazing. I love representing the U.S. I freaking love living there. I love it. And I'm so happy I get to represent USA. Love it.
Well, well said. Congratulations. Enjoy that gold. And we'll see you out there on the podium, okay?
Thank you. I'll try not to cry, but no problem.
Good for her. Proud of her country, proud to represent it. Sydney McLaughlin, also, she set a new world record for the women's 400 meter, 51.46 seconds, wrapped herself up in the American flag. The media has focused on the protests. The media has focused on Megan Rapinoe. The media has focused on American women's soccer taking a knee. They focused on the worst of American athletes and tried to make the worst of American athletes the heroes while completely ignoring the American patriots. And so the result has been, for example, when, what's her name? The gymnast, Simone Biles, backed out. You had a bunch of people immediately pounced and oh, she's one of them. We need to condemn her. She's never spoken an ill word about her country. Not only that, we now actually know from the objective data, and I realize a lot of conservative media, it was so rushed so quickly to lump her with the Megan Rapinoes of the world, they missed out on the data point that actually her stepping aside for that final competition helped the Americans because her scores were lower than the person who replaced her. They probably wouldn't have even gotten bronze had she stayed. So she showed real leadership knowing when she needed to step aside. And then she came back at the end and was able to get a bronze for something. But the Americans were able to play silver by her stepping aside when they probably would not have even gotten bronze had she stayed on the group event. But the media would much prefer to focus on the wokes. The media would much prefer to focus on the protests, on the Black Lives Matters, on the taking the knee, on the them not being proud of the United States. I'm glad to see Team USA is going to have to play Australia for the bronze now. I hope Australia wins. You root against America, I root against you. And the Team USA women's soccer team has gone out of their way to be in your face about wokeism, about Black Lives Matters, about being ashamed of their country, about lecturing the rest of the country. And the media has made them rock stars for their arrogance, and they're maybe going to win bronze unless the Australians hopefully beat them. You root against America, as Team USA female soccer does, America should root against you. And unfortunately, the soccer team and what's her name? Who? Well, what was her name? Charlie texted me earlier. Gwen Berry. Gwen Berry. Yes. It's people aren't going to remember her. They will remember Sydney McLaughlin setting a world record. They will remember a female wrestler who is the first Black American woman to win at that level, saying she loves this country and she wrapped the flag around her. God bless them. A lot of real patriots, and they've gotten overshadowed by the way the media has covered this, and they deserve some real praise for standing up for their country at a time when the media itself wants to loathe America. I do wonder, in the media hatred of this country right now, the dripping with disdain coverage of America by the American press, if that has a lot to do with their fear porn over the virus. My sense is that it must have something to do with it. They clearly are out to scare the bejesus out of people about it. Now we've got, pay attention to this now. We have the Delta variant. We have the Delta Plus variant, and coming soon, the Lambda variant. And they're all highly contagious. But, you know, the data is actually really, really good. You would not know this. In fact, there's a story out. Where was this? Politico had this story. White House back channeling with networks on COVID coverage. The Biden administration is privately ramping up outreach to major media outlets in hopes of tamping down a spate of alarming news reports that threaten to slow the vaccination campaign. The White House began holding a series of briefings Monday and into Tuesday with all the major TV networks, including Fox News, as well as other newsroom leaders, about their recent COVID coverage, according to three sources familiar with the meetings. Focused on the surging Delta variant and vaccinations, the briefings are being led in part by Vivek Murthy, the U.S. Surgeon General. The briefings are being held on deep background, meaning news organizations can use the material but have agreed not to name or directly quote senior officials, and come as the administration hit its vaccine milestone on Monday, with 70% of American adults having now gotten at least one shot. But they are also occurring at a moment of concern across the administration over news reports and headlines they view as far too narrowly focused on vaccinated people contracting the virus. A slew of those stories relied on Centers for Disease Control and Prevention data obtained by the Washington Post and then reported on by a flurry of outlets last week. The CDC study examined an outbreak of vaccinated and unvaccinated people in Provincetown, Massachusetts, and led the agency to revise its mask guidelines. But news of the findings came out before the data itself, and the early headlines and reports emphasized the breakthrough infections. The Baltimore Sun is doing that again today with an op-ed by a doctor who was vaccinated and got COVID. He was at a party with 15 people. 14 of the 15 got COVID. They were all vaccinated, and he's now calling for mask mandates and other draconian government measures. The media is addicted to clickbait. The media is addicted to outrage traffic. The media understands now, in an age of declining revenue, that it can boost its online revenue if it makes you mad and you click through to their stories. There are entire websites that run the dumbest stories imaginable, designed to get the entire website scorned and mocked. But they know, in so doing, in ruining their own reputation, you're going to go through and click. Salon.com, which is a for-profit entity traded on the stock market. It's like a penny stock. It's a far-left website. It runs ridiculous stories all the time so that people will click through in rage tweet about what they're saying, but it generates traffic that generates revenue through advertising. Slate.com does the same thing. Increasingly, we're seeing the media do this, not just online, but in print, in the Washington Post and the New York Times, and also on their television networks and their radio networks. They just want your outrage. They want to fuel your outrage. They want to fuel your angst. So it helps NBC News if you're having to go to NBC and watch the Olympics to see if the anti-American female soccer team lost. Good for you for going to see if they lost and rooting against them. NBC wants your rage clicks. and they want your fear clicks. They want you going every day. What's happening with COVID? What's happening? Are we going to die today? Are we going to get COVID today? What's going to happen? Am I going to be hospitalized today? They want you scared. They want you afraid. They want you angry because it keeps you engaged with the news. I mean, just think about it. If you thought everything was hunky-dory with the world, why tune into the news tonight? Oh, everything's going to be fine. Doesn't matter what's going on. Everything's going to be fine. God's got this. That's your attitude, should be that. But with the media, it can't be that, because with the media, there's some new chaos. There might be an asteroid that hits. There might be a wildfire that burns your house. There might be some American politician who's bad-mouthing America, who you hate. There might be something with Donald Trump. There might be something, and they want to keep you engaged. They want to keep you tuned in. They want to keep you clicking. They want you angry. In the 21st century, with an American population that can be highly informed because of the internet, it does not pay for the media just to inform you, because you can get your information and move on about your day. That information must be ever-shifting sand, and it must infuriate you. And if they can do that, they capture you. And if they capture you, they get you engaged in a way that forces you to keep coming back for more. And that generates advertising revenue for them. It profits them in the way they cover it. And really, one of the best ways to fight it is to find the best of humanity. To not be willing to be mad. To not be willing to hate. To not be willing to attack. To not be willing to be so easily played and manipulated by a media that wants you scared. But you know, the corollary here is that they're not doing it with China. They focus on the United States, and they give a pretty wide path to China, where the virus came from. They excuse it. You're not allowed to talk about it. You can't call it the Wuhan virus. That's racist if you do. And there's not a lot of coverage. I was actually shocked today to see a New York Times story on what's happening in China. I've been asking for a while, if the Delta variant is spreading as quickly as it is everywhere, why isn't it spreading in China? It turns out it is overwhelming China. And the Communist Party's grip on the country is starting to get a little flaky as people are really starting to realize the Chinese government has let them down. And guess what? The Chinese vaccine is far less effective against the Delta variant than any of the Western vaccines. I've got the data on this when we come back. It's actually amazing to see what's going on in China. In fact, they don't even want you to know about it, and most of the American media won't even cover it. Why? Well, with the exception of the New York Times, think about it. They actually covered it. They are the exception. Almost every other major media outlet in this country has a business tied to a film studio in China. They can't afford to cover China, or their films won't get shown there. They'll get blacklisted. It'll hurt their revenue. Ironically, the New York Times, of all people, are about the only media outlet, them and Fox News, that can fairly cover China because they don't have entangling business interests with China. Before I get into China, I need to do a small bit of housekeeping, please. We've got a number of new affiliates that have come on board across the country, and I need to explain something to them. You hear in one of the promos, if you text the word recipe to 33777, you'll get back a recipe every week. I'm actually in the process of sending it out. It'll be out very shortly. And let me explain this to the new folks who are just coming on. I like to cook. It is a fantastic distraction from politics. And I'm a firm believer that you should be able to find common ground with people with whom you vehemently disagree on politics. But you break bread around the table together, or you get your family and friends together. I mean, frankly, the way culture is going, the world wants to isolate you and make your kids think you're a freak, and steal your kids away from you and your values. And so you break bread at the table, you invite friends over who share your values. At some point, your kids are going to decide you don't know what you're talking about, but they'll respect your friends. And when they see your friends there with you, they'll realize that mom and dad haven't lost their mind. Other people agree with them. and that maybe you're not alone in the world with your values. It's important to break bread in person with other people, not on Zoom or FaceTime or Facebook or Twitter, but actually around the dinner table. And I want to help you with easy, good recipes that I cook myself. If you want to do it, what you do is you text the word recipe to 33777. You will get back a link. If you follow the link to my website, you can put in your email address and subscribe. Now, in just a couple of minutes, I will be sending out today's recipe. It sounds very boring. It is a ham sandwich. I know it sounds very boring. I've got friends of mine who don't even like ham sandwiches. I'm just going to tell you, this is going to be one of the most incredible things you will put in your mouth. It is incredibly easy to make, and it is incredibly delicious. And if you make them for a party, you will be the king of your party. They're just incredible. They're really a French-style ham sandwich, a croque monsieur, as the French would call it. It is so easy to make, and it is so incredibly delicious. And, you know, at my house on Sundays, I typically, Philip, who works for me, comes over. Sometimes we'll invite others, and we have bourbon and cigar night. And oftentimes, I'll just do wings on my Rectica, my smoker. Lately, I've been making these ham sandwiches, and they are so easy, and they're such a hit, and they all get eaten. And they're just, I can't explain to you how good these things are. You try them, you will love them. And if you text recipe to 33777, you'll get the email back very shortly here. I'm in the process of writing it right now, so I will get it out here shortly. You can always go to ewerickson.com. There's a recipe tab, and all the recipes wind up there as well, ewerickson.com. Click on the recipe tab. You can get the recipes. But this one, I'm telling y'all, it is fantastic. It really is. I love this recipe. It's taking me a while to tweak it. Now, this hour of the program is brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan. If you are in charge of the finances of your business, what you can do is go to FirstLibertyGA.com. First Liberty wants to help your business grow. If you need access to loans, big loans, six figures and above, First Liberty, they make their own lending decisions. You don't have to worry on them going out to banks and stuff. They do it themselves. They're great at it. They've been doing it since the 90s. They want to help your business grow. FirstLibertyGA.com. Thank you so much to them for sponsoring this program. Now, we need to get to China and what's happening in China. It's actually some disturbing reports out of there. I've got about a minute left, so stick around for this. I want to get into some of the New York Times report. Gordon Chang, who has become one of the most outspoken critics of China out there, has some very fascinating information about what's going on in China with the virus. A lot of it is barely trickling into the mainstream media in this country. And you got to remember that CNN is owned by Warner, which has Warner Brothers. So how can they really cover China if they want their movies to get into the box office there and make money? Of course, ABC News and ESPN are owned by Disney. They are doing business with the Chinese. NBC News has Universal Pictures affiliated with it. It can't really cover China, can it? The Washington Post is owned by Jeff Bezos, who has a lot of Amazon stock and wants to make inroads in China and a whole lot of fronts. They can't really do this either, can't they? Most of these major news outlets in the country cannot cover China without China retaliating against them in the pocketbook. So you actually, ironically, have to rely on the New York Times and Fox News to get it. And the New York Times loves China. So when the New York Times exposes something in China critically, we probably need to pay attention to it and ask what else is going on. What else is going on over there? I have a suspicion based on other reporting from Gordon Chang I want to tell you about when we come back. Hi there. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. When the New York Times covers China, you probably need to pay attention. And the reason I say that is because the New York Times is not exactly known for its great coverage of communist regimes. It's fair coverage. And so when the New York Times covers something critically in a place like China, it's worth paying attention to. And they have done so. Here's the headline. It comes today. After months as a COVID success story, China tries to tame Delta. The government has imposed lockdowns and is testing and tracing aggressively to fight a new outbreak. Experts say it is time for the country to rethink its approach to the virus. In the battle against the coronavirus, few places seem as confident as victory as China. The country of 1.4 billion people had eradicated the virus so quickly that it was one of the first in the world to open up in spring last year. People removed their masks and gathered for pool parties. In recent months, the government has contended with sporadic outbreaks in various provinces, but stamped them out swiftly by mobilizing thousands of people to test and trace infections, as well as locking down communities. The model is now looking increasingly fragile. China is facing its biggest challenge since the virus first erupted in the Chinese city of Wuhan last year. Isn't that racist to say? The highly transmissible Delta variant that is rapidly spreading throughout the country. Chinese officials have acknowledged that curbing this outbreak could be harder than the others, owing to the fast and asymptomatic spread of the variant. While the number of cases are still relatively low compared to the United States and elsewhere, these new outbreaks happening in cities such as Nanjing, Wuhan, Zhangzhou, and Zhengzhiji are showcasing the limitations of China's zero-tolerance approach to COVID. They may also undermine the ruling Communist Party's argument that its authoritarian style has been an unquestionable success in the pandemic. Although the government had to stamp out a Delta flare-up in June in Guangdong province, authorities this time are dealing with a much larger spread. Since the current Delta outbreak started on July 21st, the number of cases has risen to 483, more than the sum total of infections for the first 5 months of the year. By Tuesday afternoon, the virus had spread to 15 of the 31 provinces and autonomous regions in China. Now, I'm going to stop there because you can't believe the numbers from a communist regime, and the New York Times has taken them at face value. But as you can tell from the subtext there, things aren't going well for China. And now there's Gordon Chang, who's one of the foremost critics of China. He's writing at a site called 1945.com. COVID-19 is ravaging China. The Delta variant is spreading across the country fast, and Beijing has no answer to the new strain other than draconian, totalitarian, brute force measures and blaming foreigners. Millions of Chinese residents are now in various forms of lockdown. The recent infections constitute the most widespread coronavirus outbreak since the disease first hit China sometime in late 2019. The new flare-up, which quickly slipped beyond the control of the authorities, is undermining core Communist Party propaganda narratives. Chinese authorities traced the latest series of infections to a flight landing at the Nanjing Luko International Airport from Russia on July 20th. 9 Chinese airport workers tested positive after cleaning the plane. Since then, the disease has ripped through China, infecting people in almost half of the country's 33 provinces and provincial-level cities and regions. Delta has broken through the country's virus defenses, which are some of the strictest in the world, notes Bloomberg News. Delta is now appearing in places with no reported cases for months. Of particular concern for the regime is the cluster in Wuhan, the original epicenter. The city's infection-free status has been a source of pride in China. COVID's also reached Beijing, the heart of communist power. Their travel restrictions are strict. Tourists are now not admitted to the city. Only essential travelers are let in, but only if they produce negative COVID tests. Government and state enterprise employees may not leave the city. Beijing residents have been told not to travel elsewhere unless necessary. There have been more than 30 outbreaks around China since the initial case in Wuhan. Draconian measures, which seemingly successful in isolating China's COVID-19 cases, have not been successful now. The party used its handling of the virus as proof of the superiority of its system over Western democracy. Totalitarian-style tactics, unfortunately for China's rulers, have not worked with the Delta variant. The coronavirus, unlike other pathogens, has become more transmissible and more virulent over time. Delta is killing off the triumphalism of the Communist Party. Therefore, a nationwide spread of the disease is a potentially existential threat to the party. At the moment, Delta is running through many societies around the world, but China appears to be the only one where the variant could end the ruling group's tenure. Now, is this wishful thinking? To some degree, you presume it is wishful thinking. But there's always been a tip-off in China that something the Communist Party felt a threat to its power. What China is oftentimes worried about is instability inside a fractious, non-homogeneous society where a lot of people are oppressed and know it. But China keeps them scared of the other. And every time the Chinese regime is worried about its grip on power, it blames foreigners. And what's it doing now? Let me read you. The party's propagandists are blaming foreigners for the Delta outbreak. They were quick to say the origin of the most recent contagion was passengers on the plane from Russia to Nanjing, for instance, implying Russia was the source. Media attributed a cluster of cases in Zhengzhou to two hospital cleaners in contact with patients from abroad. In the most irresponsible move, China's foreign ministry in March of last year publicly maintained the global coronavirus pandemic started in the United States. Since then, Chinese propagandists have constantly pushed the notion that the United States Army's Fort Detrick in Frederick, Maryland is to blame for the coronavirus. Whenever China begins to blame foreign governments for its problems, you know the Communist Party's worried. And they've begun doing that now. That's the big tip-off. They're deeply, deeply concerned, and they should be concerned. There are a couple other data points you got to add to the story. China, to much fanfare, developed what do they call it? The Sino vaccine. It is the Chinese version of the COVID vaccine. And they claimed that it was highly efficient, easily deployable, very stable, and very good at what it does. And it turns out it's not. The latest data shows that, there's some questions about Pfizer and how long your immunity lasts, but there's no question anymore about the Chinese vaccine. Your immunity towards the virus craters within months of getting vaccinated. Not only that, you're more likely to have a breakthrough infection bypassing the vaccine if you've taken the Chinese variant. And China went around the world on a diplomacy tour, having spread the Wuhan virus globally. China came out and said, we've got the cure. We've got the cure. Take our vaccine. Don't take Pfizer's or the West, the capitalist imperialists. Don't take their vaccine. Take our vaccine. And a lot of third world governments said, okay. In Peru, in Chile, in Sri Lanka, in parts of Africa and the Middle East, they gravitated to the Chinese vaccine. It turns out the Chinese vaccine is only about 60% effective against the coronavirus generally. It is far less effective against the Delta variant, and you're more likely to get a breakthrough infection of the Delta variant with the Chinese vaccine in you than with any other. It's just not good. It hasn't lived up to its claims. Now notice, pay attention to this part. You're not really getting this in the American press. You have to read the scientific literature to hear this. The scientific literature is full of stories, and the international press is growing full of stories about just how bad the Chinese vaccine is. The American press tends to be infatuated with China. So you're not hearing about all that instability. It's remarkable how much you're not hearing in the American press. It was commendable of the New York Times to actually cover this. But even the New York Times, notice what the New York Times does. They treat China's data as truthful. Oh, it's just a few hundred cases. It's just a few hundred cases. No, actually, it's probably way more than that, given the reaction. The fact that they're already out there blaming Russia. And by the way, Russia was going to be their ally. Russia was going to be their ally. And now they're blaming Russia. Do you really think Vladimir Putin is going to take well to China blaming Russia for spreading COVID in China? Do you think the Chinese people are going to take well to the claims that Russia did it? Probably not. Probably not. And the reality here is that this is disruptive to the Chinese regime. Because the Chinese regime, what happens? What happens in a couple of years? You got the Beijing Olympics. What if COVID is still running rampant? What if the body count gets exposed? You know, there aren't a lot of tourists in China right now. So there was this weird report in the summer of last year. Many of you will remember in the summer of last year, there were reports in Korea, Japan, and Taiwan about ash raining down on their countries. Where do you think the ash came from? It coincided with a report from China that there was a shortage of crematorium urns. That gives you a sense if ash is raining down on these countries from China. That gives you a sense that the death toll was far higher than China wanted people to believe. Even if the New York Times and the American media takes it on face value, the reality is that the death toll was more likely than not far higher than what the Chinese claimed. And now they're claiming it's no big deal. It's really no big deal, y'all, about the vaccine. It works just fine, and don't worry about the Delta variant, except the Delta variant doesn't seem to work so well. The Delta variant is spreading through China, and the Chinese Communist Party is so freaked out. It's blaming Russia. It's blaming the United States. It's blaming Australia. It's blaming foreign intruders into the country. That tells you just how deeply destabilizing it is. And you know what? Honestly, we should cheer on the virus in China. No disrespect at all. No disrespect at all to them. But the reality is, straightforwardly, the more disruptive the virus is in China, the more disrupted the Communist Party will be, and the better that disruption and instability is for the rest of us as they have to deal with the home front and can't focus on invading Taiwan or building more islands and disrupting American plans abroad. It's not a bad thing, folks. You know what else isn't a bad thing? The Eden Pure Thunderstorm. It is an air purifier, and it will clean the air in your house. It gets rid of noxious odors, tobacco odors, fry odors, pet odors. It does. It also helps with black mold and the mildew that floats around your house. The mildew spores, it can trap them. It does such a good job. We've got several of them in our house. In fact, right now you can get three of them from Eden Pure and save $200. What you do is you go to EdenPureDeals.com, EdenPureDeals.com. And you click on my name, Eric Erickson, and take advantage of the offer. Get three, save $200. When you do, and you put those in your cart, click the orange checkout button, and you'll see a discount code. Don't use the Apple Pay button. You got to go through to the discount code on the checkout box. And then you put in Eric3, E-R-I-C-K, and the number 3. When you do, you'll save $200. You'll see those $200 come off. It'll be like $187, I think, somewhere in there. You can get one for the basement, one for the first floor, one for the second floor. You can have one for your RV, your camper. It's great. It works. It's the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, and you get it at EdenPureDeals.com. Like the Garden of Eden, EdenPureDeals.com. Go there now, the discount code at checkout, Eric and the number 3. No space, just Eric3. Hello there. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Y'all, I got an angry email the other day from a lady who is upset with me because I made a crack about vegans, and she wanted me to know the health benefits of veganism and that I should give up bourbon and cigars on Sunday nights, that I should be eating less red meat and drinking less bourbon. And well, I didn't mean to disrespect her and her dietary choices. Listen, the problem here is it's like, so I go to CrossFit. I eat too much for you to ever notice, but I actually enjoy a CrossFit workout as opposed to your standard gym workout. And I enjoy my trainer. I go work one-on-one with the guy who owns the gym. And I totally get the humor, though, that CrossFit can be a cult. You know, it's kind of funny. I've had more conversations with friends of mine in the last couple of days about the CrossFit games than about the Olympics. And I realize it's the circle of people I hang out with. But I get the joke. A CrossFitter, an atheist, and a vegan go into a bar. The only reason we know is that they made sure to tell everybody. I get it. If you want to be a vegan, that's fine. But you do have to understand the joke and stereotype of vegans exists for a reason. It's not just made up. Here is an example of this in Berkeley, California. This was posted on Nextdoor. You know the Nextdoor website. The Nextdoor website, it's like Facebook for your neighborhood. And it's actually way more civil typically. But here. Please close your windows when cooking meat. What's up, neighborhood? One love. As a vegan runner, it's always hard for me this time of year when the weather starts warming up and folks start opening their windows. Several nights a week, I'm out running around dinner time. And when people have their windows open, I can smell what they're cooking. I've noticed a sharp uptick recently in smells of folks cooking meat, and it can be quite overpowering. Quite honestly, the odor is offensive, and I'm hoping our community can have some empathy for its plant-based neighbors by closing their windows if they are cooking meat and only putting vegetables on their barbecue. I don't want to be a stereotype, so I won't go into detail on why the odor of cooking animals is offensive, but I encourage you to do your research and join the movement of people who are fighting back. Hashtag peace, hashtag love, hashtag bodhisattva. This is in Berkeley, California. Friends, if you want to eat meat, y'all open up your windows and fire up your grills and you eat meat. The fact that this one person is so offended by meat, she wants I don't even know, male or female, it's got to be a beta male, wants the entire neighborhood to close their windows. No, vegans, come on, people, do better.